Okay, so we're up to Amar Festa. So we're back to Chulin. Kuf Lamed Beis Amar Beis. Amar Festa. So we just dealt with, I mean, let's just get the facts which are previous again, which are partially relevant, but not really. But the halacha is a kohen. Generally, a kohen doesn't have to give matanos. Okay, the matanos are a gift that a Yisrael who slaughters an animal has to give to a kohen. But a kohen who slaughters an animal doesn't have to give it. It's gifts to kohanim, not gifts. The kohen doesn't have to give a gift to a kohen. He's a kohen. But if he's a butcher, he's slaughtering on a large scale type of a deal. So then he has to.
A butcher of other people's animals, or
the machlokas. Machlokas. Even his own. That's
his own, but for sale. So
yeah, it's for sale. He's selling the meat, right? Exactly.
It's not going to end up being eaten by him. So.
Correct. Well, yeah, it has to be his. I mean, if it's someone else's animals, of course, that's for, they have to get. But if it's his animals, but he's going to sell them.
Can he keep the for himself without giving it as a matana? Like,
I don't know. I don't know. It's a good question. Probably, but I'm not sure. Probably. Then he's not really functioning as a butcher. He's functioning as his own. I don't know. Well, let's leave that.
Like, he's doing everything.
Yeah. So, but essentially, it's machlokas Rashi throws away. The rest is Rabbanon. But bottom line is, a kohen shechts animals as a butcher on a large scale has to and sells them. He has to give matanos from those animals to other kohanim. Okay, fine. So, what's the deal? Rav Chista says, "Amar Rav Chista." Lost it. Okay, Amar Rav Chista. It's like a flam bezim base halfway down the page, where the beginning of the line is a little aleph. Hi Kohana, dilo mafresh matanasa. So Kohen who doesn't separate his matanos lehave b'shamta delokay Israel. So he should be. He's in shamta is like chayram. Chayram is like excommunication.
Is the butcher Kohen?
Yes, butcher Kohen. Right. He's in a shamta of God. Okay, but he's in chayram basically. Okay, and people don't talk to him, there's all kinds of things. You know, I don't know, whatever the halachas are, right? And then you look up what the halachas are, but he's basically excommunicated, you don't do business with him, you don't talk to him, things like that.
They have to dress a certain way to go talk to him?
I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. Where's the Rambam again? He quotes it here, right?
Vav Yudalan?
Okay. Vav Yudalan. Right. It says this primary case John brings in if you're mevaza chachamim, then you're nidoy. And what's a nidoy? Doesn't really say so much what it is. Fine, but you have to be knowing nidoy. Say what knowing nidoy is. Okay, but you excommunicate him. You can't hang out with him and deal with him. So what are the things? So the Rambam has it. He has a list of 24 people who you put in chayrim. 24 people you put in chayrim, nidoy, chayrim, shamta. They're all the words. I think they may sometimes be a little different, but whatever. That's for our purpose. It's just same. So one of them is which letter is it? Which one is it? Yud tas. No. Oh, it says yud. Okay, yeah. You're right. Yud. It's tabach kohen she'ino mafresh amatanos v'noson lekohen acher. So a tabach, a butcher is a kohen who doesn't set aside, separate matanos and give them to another kohen, and adin oso achitin. So you put him in chayram until he gives. Okay, until you'll force him to give because you put pressure on him. Right? Social pressure. So until he gives. Okay, so that's what they want to say. So the Ram says, what's the halachos of the nidoy? It's in Zayin Dalin, in the Talmud Torah. He's not allowed to get a haircut and to wash his clothes like an avel. Wow. And you don't have to do Zeman with him, and you can't include him in the group in a minion, like 10 people. You don't sit within 4 amos of him. Right? Fine. Things like that. Okay. Serious, right? It's a form of excommunication. Basically, it closes up. But he could teach other people. And you could learn from him. You could learn from him or something. And you could do a business. You could rent from him. He could rent from other people. Whatever. So a form of excommunication. Okay, and there are different levels. There's a muhram is even worse, that you can't learn with from him, and you can't, so stuff like that. Fine. So this is one of the things, one of the 24 things, is a kohen who doesn't give his matanos. Okay. So what do you think about that? Pretty rough. Pretty strange. Extreme.
You don't do that to Yisrael, do you?
I know. That's the question. Is what about Yisrael doesn't get Matanos? So, I don't know. You could say Lav Dafka, but when the Rambam has the list of 24 things, the Gemara, you could say it's Lav Dafka. But the Gemara has a list of the 24 things. Shouldn't he bring down that it's anyone? I mean, he doesn't say that. He just says a Tabach Kohen, Chain of Afresh Matanos. Right? So, how is that? I mean, it's the sin of not doing Matanos, right? So, what's the difference between the Kohen and Yisrael? It's the same sin. Yisrael Matanos is not doing them. So, what kind of idea is that? Let's say, is Yisrael a butcher? If you say something about a butcher. I mean, but it's only a butcher because only Kohen who's not a butcher isn't chayav to give Matanos. So, it's only when that's always the case of a butcher. But is, I mean, unless there's some svara why he has to be a butcher, but it doesn't say Yisrael butchers. Yisrael can be butchers also. It doesn't say Yisrael butcher doesn't give Matanos. It can be only doing. So, it's a pretty random halacha. Right? It's strange. Like, this is the sin that, you know, we're putting a hammer for. That we gotta really put our foot down and stop and, right? It just seems like, I mean, there's 24 things, but they're like, they're pretty serious things. You're involved with a chacham, you call your friend an eved, you send them to Beis Din and he doesn't come, you're involved with the Rabbanon, you don't accept the psak of a Beis Din. You have a wild dog that's damaging people and you don't get rid of it. You sell your land to a goy. You testify in a court of a goyish court. You're Chali Yom Tov Sheni. You do malach on Erev Pesach. Erev Pesach Chatzos. You say Shem Shemayim Levatala. You bring the Rabban to Chil Hashem. Things like that.
Are any of these things bona fide serum, like by themselves?
Probably. Manasker Shem Shemayim Levatala or Leshvua, Divrei Havai. That's an answer, right?
It's just weird that they're all grouped into this. Like, what's the common.
I know. I try to do that, but I gave up. Tabach Shiot Tatrefa Mitachat Yado.
Seems like. With me, Yash.
Mikasha Atzma Ladas makes himself erect on purpose. Mishgir Sishto. Minada Mishaino Chayev Nidoy.
Yeah, that's good.
Put someone in, right? In Chayram who doesn't deserve it. And you get in Chayram.
Infinite loop.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah, it's. I know. That's a little bit hard about this thing. It's like, you know, I don't really know. I try to do it, to try to find some pattern, but they're not very unified.
Right.
They just seem to be like bad stuff, you know? Things that we have to stop, and I don't know. It's hard to, I mean, we're a little handicapped here because we're not doing that, but to do that is, I don't know, it's hard to do that, to take up that kind of problem. What are all 24 things? So, you know, yeah. So it's like, you can't really ask, why is this a Nidoy kind of a thing? You know, we don't know exactly what Nidoy kind of a thing is, so it's not really, you know. But at the same time, like, why is this anything? Like, what's different about this than anyone I can imagine? Thomas, that you could ask. You know, why exactly Nidoy is the solution we have to see? You'll see, it's not the only solution. It's not the only solution, so. But it's a problem which has to be dealt with through some sort of extreme measures, it seems, you know. Okay, let's read a little further tomorrow. But I mean, this is it's a strange. It's strange, I mean, it's kind of like I don't know. It's just hard to understand, explain the Gemara. Okay, let's see what it says. So then it says, "Amar Rabba Bar Rav Shila, Hani Tabachei Dehutzal Kaimi B'Shamta Derav Chista Ha'Esem V'Tartin Shnen." So these butchers in Hutzal were in the Chayrim of Rav Chista for 22 years. Okay, as they were recalcitrant, they wouldn't give in. Apparently, put them in chayrim, and they sat there for 22 years in this chayrim. Okay, that's nice. We're not nice. Kolomar kvar avru 20 chaf beis shana. Okay, so l'may helchsa. What's the word? So what's the point of teaching us that? Okay, so they're 22 years. I mean, what's the nafkamina? Why is he saying that? Why was the relevance of that story? Just not a story. So it says, Ilema de Sula Mashantin Lu, if it's Pshat that's it, we're not gonna put Mukhairim anymore. Once it's 22 years, that's it, it's over. That's the limit, it's a term, it's a 22-year term. 22-year sentence. Maybe that's what he's saying. And if they run 22 years, it means that's it. Okay, you gotta go free. He says, but that's not true. Tanya, if a guy violates it, so then you don't put him in chayrim or you don't push any further. It's a funny gemara, this part. Avol mitzvah saseh, if the guy is not doing mitzvah saseh, gon omrim lo asay sukkah veino osa, lul veino osa, asay titzis veino osa, if he's refusing to do a mitzvah saseh, so the halacha is makino saj station avsho. So you hit him and you keep hitting him until he dies. Up until he dies, and you basically force him, and you don't let up. So the basic idea is, look, if a guy does a sin, and this is what Ron says, it's not a dafka say or a lo say, but it's like, if a guy violated, so you punish him. Whatever punishment it is. But then that's it, you punish him. So the punishment elapses after, however, whenever it's enough, it's enough. You whip him, you put him in chayram, whatever the case is. But here it's a mitzvah asay, and the idea of the onesh, you're not punishing him, what are you doing? You're trying to force him to do it. Right? In other words, he's not putting on tzitzis. You're going to force him to put on tzitzis. So you can't say, well, you already hit me. Yeah, but you're not wearing tzitzis anymore. So it's not, our job is not, we're not functioning in order to punish you. We're functioning in order to get you to put on tzitzis. And therefore, we'll keep pushing you and pushing you and pushing you until you do it. So you don't let up. So it's 22 years. Yeah, but is he giving matanos? Still not giving matanos? So what are you doing? You're not going to let it up. So if you say he did an avera, so you'll say you punish him 22-year sentence. That's enough. But if the whole, if your involvement is not a punishment, it's not punitive, but it's like to force him to do something, so then it doesn't make any sense. And this Bryce is saying is you don't let up. There's no letting up. You see how it stays in Asha. You keep doing it. I mean, if he's willing to die, then that's it. This is, we can't tolerate guys who are just not doing mitzvahs. And we'll keep hitting you and until you give in. You don't give in, okay, so you'll end up dying. It's not an option to live in this society and just to say, I'm not doing the mitzvah. We're not going to say, that's it. I hit you hard enough, you're not doing it. Interesting, right? But it's saying is, it can't mean that it's been 22 years and now his sentence is up. This is an assay that he's not doing. You don't stop if he still hasn't done it. So if that's the case, who cares how many years it's been? What's the point of them saying, leave it in Shechem for 22 years? I mean, okay. Why are you making a point of that? It's just every year that you give an announcement, it's been 21, right? What's the point? So the Gemara says it must be something else. Ella de kansinulhu below asriyasa. It says no. Now that it's been 22 years, okay. Now that it's been 22 years, you're allowed to fine him without warning him. Rashi says me'achar shamdu b'shamtayu chafeshana kansinulhu below asra. So prior to 22 years, if you wanted to fine him for not giving the matanos, so you'd have to warn him. If you warned him, then you could fine him. But if you don't warn him, you can't do it. But now that it's been 22 years, now you could just fine him, straight out. You don't have to warn him anymore. Okay? Kiha de Rava kanis atma, Rav Nachman Yitzchak kanis glima. So Rava was made the kanas of atma. Rashi says, he take the whole thigh. So he didn't want to give the matanos, it's one little part of the animal, and he take the whole thing, the whole thigh. Right? That's it for him to give it to the kohen. If you don't want to give matanos, it's a little bit, I'll give it, take all big chunk of the animal. And Rav Nachman, is kind of glima, he basically a shirt. He take a shirt. Okay, you don't want to give matanos, I'll take your shirt. Okay, and give it to the kohen.
Like the
Rana's
question,
take
or something like
these
have
class,
like it's a
class. What's your question?
Like, how does this
class
work? It's like every year
class? No, I don't know. I guess it's similarly, it's to get him to give. It's like you're blackmailing him, so to speak, or something like that. It's like you're fine, but it's a penalty. You don't want to be whatever. So you're penalizing him, you take your shirt, take your this, take your that. Eventually, it'll hurt him, and he'll give in. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't really get it. You're saying that there's a 22-year excommunication and then there's class?
Well, it's funny. It's like there's two options. It seems like there's two ways to get the guy. One way is to excommunicate him, to put him in chayram. The other option is to fine him. But if you want to fine him, you have to warn him first. Okay? That's the basic halacha. Okay? You can put him in chayram right away, and then, put him in chayram until he gives in, until he starts giving. Or, if you don't want to do the chayram option, You could do the other option, which is to fine him. But the fining him, you can't just take his money until you give him warning. If you give him warning, you can do it. Otherwise, you can't do it. I guess for cherem, you don't have to warn him. Just put him a cherem, and the second he gives in, you just do it and all the cherem. But money, you take his money. That's it. You take his money. He gives it to the government. That's it. It's not his. So then in order to do that, you have to first warn him. But if you go with the cherem route, and it's been 22 years, and the cherem still hasn't worked, then you have a right to just start fining him without warning him. You don't get it, or you don't get it?
I get it, but I don't get it.
Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah, I get it. Yeah, it's strange, right? It's like a pretty contrived system.
So for the first 22 years, you have to warn him, then you go back to put him on the cam, right?
What?
You have to warn him before you put him on the cam.
No, it doesn't seem like the cam needs warning.
Why?
Because it's the Knas he's saying needs the warning. The Knas is the warning, and I think the reason why, I mean, why am I saying that, or why is that the reason? Why,
but
is that
doesn't
true?
Things like this, shouldn't that require a warning?
No, because you put in a cherem, and then he gives in, and then you run all the cherem. Whereas the cherem is like, it's a social, but he's uncomfortable. So you basically remove it the second he gives the thing, so he'll remove it. But a Knas, you're taking his money. So before you take his money, he's not getting his money back, that's it. You take his money, his money's money. It's not like you're holding on to it, you're taking it, it's a Knas. So before you levy the fine, you have to tell him that, listen, if you don't do this, we're going to give you a penalty and we're going to take your thing. But the cherem, you don't have to. But the cherem, you can just do, and if he keeps being recalcitrant, he's not going to do it. So you have 22 years, you say, okay, we had enough. I don't know why you can't just warn him then. Why not say 22 years and I warn him and then give him the knas? Right? I mean, what's the point? I mean, why not still warn him? You're allowed to. And what's 22 years? I mean, it's pretty wacky. Where'd that shit come from, right?
Came from the story.
That's the case. I know, but like, that's because, well, but apparently he held, now it's been 22 years, now I have a right to do this. I mean, what, he couldn't do it at 21? Well, it sounds like he's saying is you can't do it right away because you have to warn him first. But there comes a point, I mean, I don't know if we're going to ever understand exactly that number, but like, there comes a point where you don't have to warn him anymore. But manafshach, I mean, if you have to warn a guy before you take his money, then you have to warn him. What does it do? The fact that he's been chayim for 22 years, for a long time, and now all of a sudden you don't have to warn him? I mean, why do you have to warn him in the first place? Whatever reason, then still do it. Still have to. And also, what's the idea of these two systems? I mean, these two things are funny altogether. Two different options. It's wacky. The whole thing is wacky. Ram is not that enlightening, but he said, "Bundle Roshach Elatzman." Somebody coin his pot travel. A coin tabach sheshochei to mocher b'shok. If a butcher sells in the store, Montin Lodge time shel shavatzos. You wait 2 or 3 weeks. After that, you take the matanos and give it to other kohen. But if he sets up a storefront, then you don't have to wait 2 or 3 weeks. Okay, fine. If he refuses to give, so you put him in cherem until he goes. Okay. And what do you do if Yisrael refuses to give? I don't know. I don't know, maybe you hit him like a guy who doesn't do a lulav or something. I'm not sure. There's like a special halacha here though. Okay, primary question, I think, right? I think the most primary question or the root to thinking about this is what kind of chet is it if a kohen who doesn't give matanos? Or that's a vague question, but like, why is this a unique finale, a unique chet which is being singled out or a whole separate treatment? He gets nido, you can ask him, you this. I mean, what's the big deal? I mean, it has a lot of chetan. I mean, this has its own something about a kohen not giving matanos that, you know, is significant. By the way, the Art Scroll quotes, the Derech Emunim, something like that. I might be quoting that wrong, but someone I had never heard of who says that this is also by Yisrael who doesn't give matanos. Also, this can apply to him also. But I don't know how to find him, and you know, I'm not sure. I mean, the Ram doesn't hold that way. Seems pretty clear, right? I thought I was the Red Farsh, but I looked through all the Rishonim this morning. I was looking through everyone I had. I couldn't find anyone. I didn't look in the Miri, but I don't know. He's calling the Miri also. I don't know. But it seems so. I'm just saying, putting that out there. But it could be he went that way because of what kind of created what kind of, otherwise it's hard to understand the whole sugya. But even so, I mean, it doesn't still, why matanos? I mean, I don't know, there's a lot of things that I could do. So let me show you a different Rambam. Okay? Different Rambam. Maybe we either went to this before, I'm not sure. But it's the last Rambam in this parak. Task of days. Lo yachtov ha-kohen matnosav. The kohen is not allowed to grab the matanos. Okay? Below Yishal Bepiv. He can't even ask for them verbally. Ella em nasno bekavod notel. If they give it to him in kavod, in a derech kavod, you know, in respect. We respect you, Kohen, and here's your matanos, then he takes them. Okay? Ubizman shehem rabim besam itbachayim. In a place, and if there's a lot of people, Kohanim in the butcher house, right? Let's say, and there's a lot of contenders for getting the matanos. Hatzinuim, those who are tzinua, modest or whatever, right? Moshchim yedayim, they pull back. The gargaranim, note them. And the, what's the word again? Gargaranim. Didn't you translate it last time that we did this? No? Gargaran is like a guy who's like a...
aggressive?
Yeah, like he's a bit aggressive. He's like piggish, pushy, gargantuan, pushy. He's a big mouth, something like that. He's I don't know the exact translation of the word. But he's like an ogre. Okay, you could look it up later, whatever. Okay, v'ema yakohen tsenua. If the coin tsenua, v'ema makirno social coin, but they don't know that he's a kohen. Hariz notel kadesh yadela kol shu kohen. Then he's allowed to take it in order so people know that he's a kohen. Because if here he's going to sit back and he's not going to take anything, people are going to think he's the Yisrael. He's a fake kohen. So then he's allowed to take it just to. You know, just to set up his position. V'ein ha-kohen ochlin ha-matanos el tzli b'chardal. And Kohanim can only eat the matanos roasted with mustard. Okay? Barbecued with mustard.
What's the word for mustard?
B'chardal.
Oh, chardal.
Mustard seed, right? Shenem are the mashcha. The mashcha, which means like for greatness, for anointing, but it means like for greatness. Like kings eat. That's why kings eat. It's like in a fancy chashavoi, right? Barbecued mustard.
Dijon,
right? Dijon. Not Golden's yellow mustard.
It's a fake coupon.
Yeah, right. Okay. So what do you see from this whole thing? So the matanos are an institution of kavod to the Kohanim, right? They're set up as an institution of Yimechabe the Kohanim. And they have to give it to the Kohen in Derech Kavod. And he has to eat it with Derech Kavod. Right? And he has to be like tenua about it. He can't be pushy and grabbing it and taking it. And because it's like the whole institution is there. It's Kohanim are special and important. And we have to honor and respect the Kohanim. And give them gifts because they are deservant. Because they're the Meshar Se Hashem. Right? And it's an institution of expressing kavod for the kohen. Now, the kohen, if the kohen starts taking it like a gargaron, and he's like a pig, piggishly, he goes after it, so it like undermines the whole institution of the kohen, of the kavod. It's like he's just a guy who's like leeching off of the society, off of the people, and he'll go running for food, he's hungry, he's grabbing the food, stuffing it in his mouth, filling up his pockets. That's not the idea of the matanos. That undermines the whole institution of the kohen. The whole institution of Manas Kahuna is an institution which sets the kohen, which is based upon setting up the kohen as a mechubad, as someone who deserves respect, and this is expressing the respect to him, that you give him the stuff, and he eats it in a fancy way. He's like a king, treating him like a king. Not like a guy who's hungry and needy and desirous and money hungry and food hungry and all that. So it could be is that, with this in mind, could be is a kohen who doesn't give matanos is basically undermining the whole institution of the Manas Kohanim, because he's being greedy with the Manas Kohanim. He gets, like you said, he gets Manas Kohanim, but it reflects the fact that when he's chayav to give them, he doesn't give them. So it basically shows that he's involved in a business. He's involved in a greedy money making scheme of getting matanos. So if people give him matanos, he's a kohen, and he gets the matanos, but he's, you see, when he doesn't give it, why doesn't he give it? Because he wants the money. So he's not like a guy who really respects the institution of Manas Kahuna, and because you see, when he has to do it, he doesn't do it. But he's taking the money, he's a kohen. So you see, what he does is that he gives off the impression that he's like a, that Kahuna, he and Kohanim at large, I mean, he casts a bad name for Kohanim, are the money-hungry group who are basically leeching off of the klal and taking their money. And that's something which the Chachmei Hadar can't allow to go on. They have to stop that and make a clear public announcement that this guy is off the derech. You know, they put him in chayr and they excommunicate him, and publicly they have to publicly make him an outcast and show this is not an acceptable kohen behavior. This is not what matnas kohuna are. This guy is doing that. This is the way he is. But he's a chote, and we're punishing him, and we're moving him from the tzibur. And don't think all the kohanim who are receiving matanos, this is what it is. Because if the people look at matanos in this way, it undermines the whole institution of matanos. First of all, people won't want to give them, and if they do give them, it's like a begrudging kind of a thing. It's like people give money to like these like kol, people are begging money for a kol. It's like people give it, but it's like begrudging. It's like you look at them as like, never, like that's part of the idea of like taking tzedakah for learning Torah, you know? It's like they lose the kavod. It's a nebuch kind of a thing, you know? That's not the idea. The idea is it should be bekavod. You're giving them because they're kings. You're not giving them because they're needy and men, they're beggars. And money hungry, the whole thing. I mean, it has to be done. Part of the institution is the way the institution is done. The way that it's bekavod. And there are halachas about that. So again, what this guy is doing, he's jeopardizing. See, if Beis Din doesn't do something about it, they're jeopardizing the whole institution of Manas Kahuna on the klal. It's not just an individual chayt. It's not just a personal chayt and a private chayt. It's something which, because people generalize, people universalize, and they look at one kohen and they say there's all kohanim. And if the chachamim sit idly by and let that happen, then they're allowing it to take place, and they're saying, oh yeah, this is it, this is one of us, you know. So this is, so they have to put an end to it and stop the guy and say, he may look like a kohen, but he's not really the real deal. And they have to put a chayim, which is like a public excommunication, until he stops. And they can't stop, or they can't let go, they can't let up. They have to force, they keep doing, keep up the chayim until it happens, because the moment he doesn't do it, he's not doing it, they can't let it seem like he's a regular guy. So it's not so much the particular action of giving as much as it is the attitude and the light which he casts upon the institution of kahuna and the matnas kahuna by not giving. That has to be remedied. Now, what's the thing is like this, is that why don't you just, let's talk about the kanas. So there's two ways to do it. Let's say there's two ways that you get the guy to do it. One way is you could start, basically put him on chayram and excommunicate him. The other way is to start finding him and penalizing him, and through that we'll also do the same thing. We're not just sliding and standing by and letting him do it. We're taking his money. We're undermining his, we're going after him. The point is that he can't sit by. I mean, the excommunication is one way because it makes it public. But first of all, it doesn't always work because the guy could just whatever. But going after a guy's money is a different thing. I think I remember someone said that first you should try the excommunicating route, you know? But whatever, whichever one you do, you have to or not. But the money sometimes is a better method. You know, you can get his money. But what's the idea that you have to warn him? I mean, why do you have to warn him? Is that always the case that you warn a guy? Oh, I remember, there's a Rambam here. Is that always the case that you warn a guy? Yeah, it says, Yesh lebez din lehalkas is in Sanhedrin, chaf dal and nalad. Okay, it says, you could whip someone who's not chayv malkos. Laharog mishen mechayv misa. Kill someone who's not chayv misa. Lo lavro the Torah. Lasiyal the Torah to protect the Torah. You keep ensuring the bezin shapartzu amadavar. If the bezin sees that the people are violating, you know, flagrant about a certain thing, yeshon ligdar lechazek adavar kibush nirlam. They could strengthen them to take a strong stance. Hakol rasha lo shikra lahol doros. They could really, not to set up ladoros, but they could do stuff. A guy had a beer with his wife under a tree, there's no answer, but they whipped him. Guy rode his horse on Shabbos, and they stoned him. That's not technically the answer, but the guy was he was trying to start something. He says Shimon shed a hung 80 women in Ashkelon one day. One day, all you call Darche Drisha Kiyo Vasrav, Loidis Barura, El Rosh Akfi Mashara. Because the Rosh basically is necessary for the Tzibor, and he's able to do it. V'chein yesh lebezin l'chol makum v'chol zman l'halkos ad nashishmos ra. Bezin any time can hit a guy who's with a bad name. That is over a rios. Okay, and so on and so forth. V'chein yesh l'dayin tamid l'hafgir mamon sheyesh l'baylam. It could be mafgir money, they may hafgir, a guy's money hafgir. Ma'abed z'chusun k'fi mashiyigdil digder pratzos adas. In order to fix the breaches in religion, or chazei kabedik, or liknos alonzer, to make a knas on this strong guy who's being who's not giving in. That Yomer beEzra, v'chalashe yalo yava l'shloshes hayavim ka'atzas asar v'zakein v'yechron kol rechusha. The guy didn't come after 3 days; they take all his money. You can't hafker bezin hafker. Okay, so bezin could do this kind of stuff. Right, a guy is being flagrant and violating stuff. They have the right to penalize him. It doesn't say that you have to warn a guy. I mean, warnings are nice, you know, but they're not always absolutely necessary. I mean, especially if you have a guy who's really being problematic and he's being an avarian, Bezin has the power. I mean, because there's no halacha that you have a guy can ask. I mean, where's the halacha? This is based on a guy who's being an avarian, and Bezin could stop him. It's not like brought down in the Torah. It doesn't say in the Torah, if you don't give matanos, we give you a knas, we take away your shirt. It's just the Bezdin's rights to do things like this. So why is it altogether you have to give the guy the knas, or that you have to warn him? What do we do with it? What do we do with the knas? So what does Rashi say? What do you do with it? He says, "Kol konas atma, kol hayarach hayagozol mivishal yerotzalasis matanos lekohen." He'd take the whole thigh of a guy who didn't want to give the matanos. By a nosen of the kohen, and he give it to the kohen. So why did he give it to the kohen? Why did he give it to the kohen?
Instead of the actual
matana? Yeah, I mean, well, the fine, I guess, the fine is usually going to be larger than the matana. I mean, that's right. Kind of the idea, right? If you're just going to find him by then you can take the thing. It's like if a guy parks in an illegal spot, if you just charge him 25 cents with the meter, it's not going to work. So the fine is going to be larger. So you take more. But now, okay, fine, why give it to the coin? The coin doesn't, it's not matanos. It's just you're taking a shirt. So you give it to the coin? What are you giving to the coin for? You take the whole thigh. What are you giving that to the coin for? Right? Yeah, presumably. Still chayav matanos, but it's a fine.
So the
you take his whole thigh and you give it to another kohen. Or you take his shirt and you give it to the kohen. So I'm saying, why do you give it to kohen? Well, what are you going to do with it?
Put it in the middle of the board.
What?
Put it in the middle of the board.
Put it in the middle of the board.
Monopoly.
Right. Put it to the dorm fund.
Who are you?
The Bezin. I mean, well, the Bezin's not good. I think that's the point. The Bezin doesn't do anything. I mean, what are they going to get? They put in their pockets and make themselves rich with the guy's kanasas. I mean, the idea is it's a kanas because he's not giving manas kuhana and he's cheating the matana of the kohen out of the matana. So the kanas, the fine, goes to the kohen. That's just a natural place to do with it. Why do they deserve it? I mean, it's because they're being cheated. It's not a tit for tat thing exactly. They don't have an account. But the point is, that's what you do with it. For instance, there's halachos in general. If I steal dalad behaya for that guy, I steal his animal, I give 4 or 5 times the thing, right? If I tavach machar, I give the money to him. Now what, he deserves 4 or 5 times? Well, it's a fine, it's a penalty. But the penalty goes to the person who is the crime was against. That's just a natural place to go to. So it goes to the kohanim.
Yeah, see, it's also trying to restore cover to the institution.
Okay, good. You mean he's...
Not only is it
So now the question is, why do you have to warn him? Only after 22 years you don't have to warn him, but before 22 years you have to warn him. Right?
The ideal is
no, you can warn him with that with kanasim. You can kanasim with warning. But the 20 years you can also below Asriyasa. Rashi says Avakodim Lachain. Oh, Avakodim Lachain, let's see. I don't think so. But let me look. Avakodim Lachain low. Oh, I understand. I know, but if it just meant you don't konis him, just say kansino no. It's not kansino hasra. What does hasra? What does the blah hasra mean? Obviously, it sounds like it means the other before that you could warn it, you could do with hasra.
Yeah.
Right.
Let's say the reason why you get rid of that is because it's still not an ideal restoration of cover. Like the ideal restoration of cover is to get the guide actually.
Right.
We're telling you, we're going to go back to Knesset, we're ton. Like, you better, like, you're about to lose way more than you're giving, you will have to give up. Like,
right.
We'd rather him be giving it, so that that's the best way to restore the covenant of.
Right.
Especially if the same thing's going to be happening. He's also going to be giving to a colon, he's just going to need more.
So, therefore, what?
So, therefore, it's better to give him to himself.
Right.
Just show him, like, listen, just shooting yourself in the foot, like.
Right. That's true, but at the same time, I mean, we don't always warn guys who are, you know, who are before we mask them. No, but, I mean, obviously we always want a guy to do the mitzvah. We don't want a guy, you know, you hit a guy because he's whatever, you take his money because of whatever, he's not doing the mitzvah. We don't want to hit the guy, why do we want to do that? We don't want to take his money, we just want to do the mitzvah. But there's certain times, look, you have to punish the guy, punish the guy. So, I mean, of course, I guess it's always helpful to warn him first, why not? But it seems to be a salacha, like you have to warn him.
Okay.
You know? To warn him. Yeah, okay, you could say that, but it seems like it's a special halacha. Like, you don't always warn him. I'm just saying there's no halacha. It seems here it's bedafka, but you can't just take the money without warning him. As opposed to ordinarily, it seems like you have a right to. That's true, but sometimes he's a chote, he's a sinner, and that's very nice to give him opportunity. He had his opportunity. I mean, it depends. I guess say why not if there's no reason to. But sometimes if you warn him, you're not going to be that easy. It's not going to be that easy to take stuff from him. Sometimes you know you want to go and grab it from him. What? But it's not in general. As I showed you, I don't know if you're. But in general, there's a halacha. Bezdin could just take money from guys. You know, if it doesn't say you have to warn him. I mean, Bezdin has a right to a guy's a sinner. They have a right to mete out justice and to start taking people's money and to start hitting people and to whatever. It doesn't say we have to warn them. I was thinking like this. Maybe there's another problem. The same problem is that if you start taking the money, if you take his thigh, his whole thigh, and you give it to the Kohen, right? So then it may also look like this is like a Kohen enriching business. Well, the same. Problem is that Matanos there for the cover of the Kona, not for a big money. Now it's not a big money making industry, but it's then of Kavod, we're giving Kavod to them. So maybe you have a similar problem is that if the Bezdin is involved in just taking his stuff and giving him giving it to the Kohanim, so it's like the Bezdin is it also come. People are going to say, oh, look at those Kohanim, they get all that fancy stuff, you know. So it could have. Because the whole idea is they want to prevent that appearance in the Am, is that the Matnas Kahuna is a way to enrich Kohanim as opposed to a way of giving kavod to them. If you start taking fines and giving money, you know, big bucks to the Kohanim or more than they're warranted, more than they get, you could also have that impression as being a way of enriching the Kohanim. Which is kind of the whole thing that we're trying to. So you'll say, "Oh, you're taking from that coin because he's a corrupt coin," and you're giving it to these other guys and making them rich. So it could be is that that's why. First of all, we don't. It's tricky. Now, if he basically warned the guy, it's and then you give the money to them. It's like he forced our hand. In other words, basically he says, "Look, we express we don't want you to do this. We don't want to take your money. We're not interested in your money, but we don't have a choice. You got to give it, otherwise we're going to have to." And then they could do it, and then it's clear. It doesn't have the appearance and the impression that that's what's going on. But it's he's choosing to get his matanos taken. But it's not if we in an unprovoked manner just go take his matan, take his stuff, and give it to the Kohanim, then it's going to play into that same appearance of the Kohanim being enriched by the system of matanos. It's a method of enriching the Kohanim. So it has to be through the warning. It's clear that it's invoked, that it's done by that it's directly initiated by him, and it's not something that we're not looking. The Kohanim aren't looking to get rich like this. They really just want the institution to be made to be done in its proper way, to give the little amounts, the Zerol HaKeva, in the normal way. And now the taking it is direct. We tell him, listen, we don't want to take it from you. If you force us to, we'll do it. So then he's forcing it. So then it's his thing. It doesn't come off as enriching the Kohanim. It's not a lechachila plan. It's based upon your violating the warning. You with me? So one of the last thing, and maybe I don't know if I have a great answer. So why after 22 years don't you have to warn him anymore?
Maybe that's the answer you're saying. Right?
It's at a certain point it becomes ridiculous and becomes obvious that it's not like we're in the business of making the Kohanim rich. The guy is recalcitrant. Obviously, the guy is not giving in. He's tough. He's been dealing with the scam for 22 years. It's already at a point where everyone knows about it. The guy is totally flagrant, and now we're just taking his stuff. We're not going to start. We don't have to start warning him and say, hey, maybe you want to give matanos. The guy is ridiculous already. And there comes a point, and the years is whatever. It's a point where it would be clear to anyone that we're taking the money from him because he's being an avayan and because he's giving us our time, not because we're looking to take his money and give it to Kohanim and looking to enrich Kohanim. So it has to be a point where it's absolutely clear, because if it isn't absolutely clear, then it's going to undermine the whole thing that you're trying to do. You know what I mean?
What's the difference?
That's what I'm saying. It's like matanos are a small part of an animal. It's a little bit, and it's the kind of thing no one's going to say, this Kohanim are. No, in general, it's set up in a way that's going to that lends itself to being mekavod. People are going to be able to look at the Kohanim and derech kavod. They're not giving up too much. So it's going to, the Kohanim aren't getting like some massive amounts. But now, through the Kenas, because of the Kenas, you're forced to basically make him give more, an amount, which is the point where people are going to start getting up in arms, like the Kohanim are getting the whole animal. Now, the guy who's giving it is a Kohen, but the guy who's giving it is a Chayav in the mitzvah. He's someone who's not acting B'Torah's Kohen, he's acting Torah's Tabach, who's Chayav in the mitzvah. So now it turns out that the mitzvah of Matanos, even though it's not the mitzvah of Matanos itself, but it's the knas of the mitzvah, is a mitzvah which is enriching. I mean, why are we giving it to the Kohen? We're giving it to the Kohen, the Kohanim, because they're the recipients of the mitzvah, of the Matanos. So it's like a one-time shot. Like, everyone say, oh, that guy's going to cash in. I know what he's, you know, it's you're giving him like a big windfall, and it lends itself to people getting up in arms and saying to feeling like an aggression. See, it's a tricky business setting up people who are recipients of Matanos. And it's a delicate balance, and that's why I'm saying the Kohanim have to be careful not to be grabbing it, and, you know, there's a... It's a hard type of a thing because people don't like to give their money, and they can end up feeling like they project all kinds of greed onto the recipients. So one thing which would do it is a large quantity going to them. You know, they're not going to say because. I mean, that guy's the sinner, and they're taking it from him. But look at that. They're making a fortune on this guy's sin. What I'm saying basically is that there's a subtle psychology going on, which Torah is careful about. And the Chum had to be careful about in setting up Kohanim as recipients of Matanos. And it's very easy for that institution to be misconstrued or people to look at it poor badly, and the Kohanim to be looked at as money hungry and as people saying it's not fair. The Kohanim are basically running away with our money. And it's important that it's done in Derech Kavod and that it's looked at as an institution of being Mechabe, these people who are doing a big service. And there are things which could... One Kohen who comes off and who starts being money hungry could destroy the whole thing. Also saying is the part of the thing is the quantity. And once a person gets a lot of money from the thing, then people start projecting. Like, for instance, if a guy in a big lawsuit, gets $1 million because he spills coffee on his lap or something like that, everyone all goes quick to say this guy's a money hungry guy. But everyone knows it was because of the lawsuit and the whatever and the coffee spilled on their lap and whatever. But when people make big money, that's not the way people, they look at it. Oh, he's milking the system, he's whatever, you know. So here it is, the Kohanim are going to get a huge thigh. They'll say, oh, look at that, look at these Kohanim, that's one lucky money-hungry Kohen. He's going to walk away. It's just people are moved by big sums of money going to people who are, so to speak, as windfalls. People are jealous of windfalls. So if it's done in a way where it's clearly not initiated by anyone but for the sinner himself, by warning him and telling him in advance, this is what's going to happen, we don't want to take your money, then it's not going to have that appearance. But if Bezin just comes and takes away the guy's thing and gives it to the Kohen, this huge thing, then I'm saying it's going to affect people. So we'll see if we could, you have some questions on it. So we'll see if we can make it better. And then we'll... the next thing is could you split up the matanos, the different kohanim? Someone asked me this once. Could you give the zroah to one guy and the lechayim to another guy and the kevah to another guy? We could take the zroah and split it up amongst a few guys. So that's like smart. There's a machlokas, I think it's, I forgot, I think it's Rashi Rambam. Yeah, Rashi Rambam is looking differently. So it's a short little Gemara, but it's very interesting. Yeah. Okay, so there's a few lines of the Gemara, you'll see. Okay, look at the Rambam.